Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC Annual End of Year Telethon to help us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at CWSC.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue, and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. A representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contribution. You can also mail it in. If you make your check out to CWSC, you can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
Welcome back, brother and sister. You're with Abdul Shaheed and guests. This is Optima Health, your certified symptometry health coach. We're going to introduce our guest. We open her mic already, Ms. Rita Taylor.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. We have an excellent topic that we're going to be sharing with our listeners today, and we certainly appreciate you joining us to help us to share this information. And the topic is understanding sugar and starch. Understanding sugar and starch. So you like to share, began to share some information about sugar and starch. Sugar is very important, and starch is very important for the human being. Why do we have to consume, and why is sugar so important?
Brother Sahida, assalamualaikum. I'm very excited to share with the audience about the importance of sugar and starch. We all need sugar, and we all need starch. Everything, plants have sugar, plants have starch. But it's the way that we eat them and produce them that makes a difference, okay? In order for us, you know, we will not be here without sugar and starch. We need sugar. Again, we need sugar in order to live. It is not something that you can do without, but it's how we use sugar and how we use sugar will make a difference in our well-being. Okay, so I would like to kind of go over a little bit about why we need sugar. Okay, every plant, every seed on earth need water, and they also need sunlight. And it's this essential that will help any plant to grow. Without these two things, water and sunlight, you will not be able to produce the plants that we need, okay? We also have something called the food groups, okay? Nutritionists have not really helped us with the distinction of the food groups. And these groups are protein, starch, fat, oil, and sugar. Fat and oil are considered as lipids, which is oil, but protein and starch and sugar are very, very important. So why starch? Okay, why sugar? As I indicated to you, you need sugar in order for you to live. But it's the way we need the enzyme that we basically, you need to produce quality enzymes in order for you to be able to digest should go pretty well. And a lot of people do not eat the food that produce these enzymes called amylase for them to be able to produce sugar. So what we do is that we eat lots of sugar, because we don't have enough. And what it does is that it really destroys our organs when we do that. So sugar is critical, but we need to know what we need to do with the enzyme that we need to produce. You know, without enzyme surplus, if you all need every day, you hear about enzyme. Enzyme is the one that breaks down the sugars into small pieces so that it can be digestible. So if you do not have great enzymes and you don't have the amylase to do that, you're going to have problems with that. So the question that I would like my brother to share with you is, what is amylase? What is amylase? Why do we need amylase? So, brother, can you share that with the audience of why we need amylase in our body and why we need the enzymes to produce that? I will be happy to hear your take on that.
Absolutely. That's an excellent question, Ms. Rita. Excellent. Amylase, those are the enzymes that breaks down sugar and starch in our mouth. So sugar and starch are broken down in the mouth. If you have strong amylase, that means you will have strong enzyme. But if you have weak amylase, then the enzyme will be weak and will not be able to thoroughly digest sugar and break up the starch. Because starch is composed of a network of sugars. That's what starch is. Another name is cellulose. It's a network of sugars. Those sugars are composed of a combination of monosaccharide. And we have to separate these monosaccharides. That's what the amylase will be doing, separating the monosaccharide. Our cells need the monosaccharide, like ribose, pentose, hexose. These are the monosaccharide that our cells need. But we first have to be able to separate them and break them down in the starch and in disaccharide. See, starch is composed of disaccharide and polysaccharide. We have to break them down to one sugar, monosaccharide. That's why we need the amylase. These amylase are very important. So when you eat food, you're not even supposed to talk. Because if you talk, then the carbohydrates, the sugar and the starch are not going to be thoroughly digested, because the mouth needs the heat. In order to keep the heat in the mouth to digest the food, to help the food to become digested in the mouth, you must keep your mouth closed and no talking. Another tip that's good to be able to thoroughly digest the food with the amylase in our mouth, this is very important, brothers and sisters, for the sugar and the starch to be digested in our mouth. So another thing that we have to do is not drink anything. If you drink something, it's going to weaken the amylase. It's going to dilute them, so they won't be strong. So if you drink water while you're eating, you drink a beverage like a Coca-Cola while you're eating, or like juice while you're eating, you are defeating the whole purpose of digesting the sugar that you're consuming and the starchy food that you're consuming. So therefore, you'll be stuck with sugar diseases, and you'll be stuck with starch diseases like amyloidosis. And starch is very gluey, so we have to be able to digest all of it thoroughly. You hear that word gluten. Found in starch. There are three of them: gluten, glutenin, and glutenin. Mm-hmm. And all of it start with glue. And glue has a tendency to stick things together and become a big problem in our system if we don't thoroughly digest the sugar and the starch in our mouth. So that's what amylase are for. We don't want to drink anything, and we don't want to talk while we're eating. Mm-hmm. So always remember that. So you have strong amylase that will be sufficient enough to digest all of the starch and the sugar thoroughly. So the cell will have them available, the monosaccharide available, to produce energy Everything about our health is based on the energy that our cells are able to produce. That's why we eat food, to nourish our cells to produce energy. Very important. You have anything else you'd like to add to the amylase?
Exactly. And one thing that, you know, I before I came to Symptometry, I was like everybody else. I was talking when I was eating. Mm-hmm. I was drinking all that stuff, and I didn't know that my amylase was being weakened. And then I was taught that, no, when you're eating, that is the time for silence. Even when the phone rings, you don't answer the phone because you want that food to break down for you. You need to have good amylase. And if you have good amylase, you'll be able to digest the sugar and the starch that we have, because without that, you're really, your DNA does not even function without amylase. That's one thing that threw me, like, oh, my gosh, we are made of DNA. And I need that amylase to be able to break down the starch, the gluten and glutamine that you talk about, because without that, my DNA is not going to be strong enough. It's not going to have the backbone it needs for it to resist all this stuff. So it's very critical that eating is not a time for talking or time for family business. It's time for everybody to be quiet, eat. And after that, after 30 minutes, after you finish eating, then you can drink the water, okay? We are not, you know, depending on your beverage that you drink, it has to be after 30 minutes. Not before, because you want that enzyme that you have to break down the sugar and the starches. So it is a critical thing for all of us. If you want your cell to be happy, if you want your cell to function, you really need to obey the rules of health, which is basically be quiet. At least for the 30 minutes you're eating, so 30 or an hour, depending on how long it takes for you to eat, for you to be quiet. So that was an eye-opener for me. And I want to share with you that it is a very simple thing to learn. And without that, you're not going to be able to digest your sugars. And you're not going to digest your starch. And you need those two components for you to be able to have healthy cells. So it is critical that I want to share that with you on that portion. And, you know, people said, I'm vegetarian, you know, whatever. Yeah. Yes, you know, be a vegetarian, but remember that, you know what? If you're every plant do have starch and sugar, every plant that is out there. And also remember that the plants also have some diseases there in them, that if you do not take care of it, it's going to, create havoc for you. Now, don't just get the plant from the grocery store and just start chewing on it. You need to clean what is out there because it has poison. The poison in it, because the plants outside, they have to weather the storm. They have to fight against all the elements out there. So they have to protect themselves. And we human beings, we think, oh, we can just uproot them and eat them. No, you cannot, because you haven't done the basics that you need to have in order to eat that plant. So please, when you buy plants, make sure you wash it and put in a saline solution for 8 minutes so that all the, you know, all the poisons on, you know, and the microbes should be clean before you cook them. I mean, we in Symptometry, we really said cook your plants. You don't eat them raw. We don't recommend raw food. We don't recommend because it doesn't have the thermal energy that you need for your body to function. So I just want to share that with you. But the amylase is something that I learned, and I'm still said, what an eye-opener, because without it, my body, my DNA, which we made, will not function right. So that's one thing I want to share, too.
Excellent, excellent. That is excellent. I'm going to ask our listeners, if they have any questions as you go along, they just press 1 on the phone and we'll open that mic. If you have any question about starch and sugar, Mrs. Rita, I see we have, I see we do have one hand raised. We're going to go ahead and take that question, okay?
Okay.
914-886, your mic is opening. Give us your name and where you're calling
yes.
from.
This is Hadia from New York, but by way of Florida. I'm in Florida right now. I just want to support what Ms. Rita is saying. When I was a child, in my house, I had 4 siblings. My parents didn't allow us to talk with food in our mouth. My parents didn't allow us to talk at the kitchen table, nor could we put our elbows on the table, and we couldn't drink until after we ate. And I'm sure my mother did not know anything about amylase, sucrose, or any of the chemicals that we need to break down our food. I don't know where they got that from, but that was a law in our house.
Isn't that amazing? That is amazing.
That is excellent.
Yes, excellent.
Well, mine was wine. Very, people don't understand. Your mother knew more than anybody that I know because people just talk when they're eating. No, don't talk. Eat the food. Let it digest so that you can get more amylase, saliva. The saliva that is in your mouth is what will help you break down break down the food. And if you're talking, what is going to do? Nothing. Then you're going to have problems.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. And people said, oh, I cannot, I'm gluten, I have to do gluten-free. The reason you're gluten-free is that you're not being able to digest all the gluey stuff because you have something in you called celiac disease that prevents you from doing that. And, we do have a way to help you, release that. You don't need to be a gluten-free anything.
No.
You're going to eat almost everything that you have and not to say, oh, I have to eat a gluten-free here, a gluten-free there. It's just because you're not able to produce the amylase to really digest the starchy, the gluey thing. It's really gluten is gluey. And you need to be able to eat now with amylase, strong amylase. And without that, you don't have problems. So we can fix things ourselves if we really want help. That's what it's all about. It's here to light people and no, you don't have to do it alone. We're here to help you. Miss Promise is yourself, your self and your DNA, which you need to protect every day, basically, is functioning well. So I'm glad about your what she was there was beyond her years. So that's a good thing that to bring it to the audience.
Excellent. You have anything else to say, sister?
I just was, we raised an environment that people did things for the benefit, not knowing why, but
exactly.
We need to go back to some of our roots.
Absolutely. They did not eat salads. When I was a child, they didn't have salads on the table. I didn't know what a salad was.
Mm-hmm.
They cooked all the food. All the food was cooked. But now we have salads everywhere.
Exactly.
And I remember, too, my mother said, no talking at the table. You couldn't talk.
<Mm-mm>.
All those things, we've lost the knowledge of those things that can really help us. We need to get back to it, and that's what Centimeters is helping us do. And now we have the science to explain it.
Exactly. And
yes.
A lot of people eat cold things like ice cream, popsicles, cold sodas, ice water, cold beer.
Yes, they do.
Your body needs heat. In order for the blood to move in your body, you don't need to add cold stuff to it because you're born to move. You're not born to stagnate. So when you eat these cold stuff, it's stagnating your blood. And that's why people don't have the energy. They say, oh, I don't have any energy. Well, what did you eat? What is going into your body? Did you just had ice cream and ice water? Even when it's hot, use room temperature. Room temperature water is better than ice water. And the ice creams and stuff, it just stagnates your blood. And your body needs to move. And you cannot have cold stuff in your blood. So please, you know, if you can, limit the cold stuff that goes into your body. And I know somebody's about to hit, and a lot of people will be drinking all kinds of cold stuff, but please, whatever it is, not cold, but room temperature. That will help your blood move as fast as it should be.
Absolutely. Excellent. And so, Sister Abdullah, we certainly appreciate those comments that you had to make, that you made. We certainly appreciate that. Now people will start thinking when they are eating, no drinking, any beverages, and no talking, because heat will be escaping from the mouth, and the mouth need to be closed in order to maintain the heat, the thermal energy that will help our amylase that's in our saliva to digest sugar and starch. Very, very important. Sugar and starch completely digested in the mouth, not the stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you doing all this talking and drinking, and you wonder why you have a sugar residue in your, circulating in your blood, causing you to have diabetes and all the other things. It is because you're not following the rule. Not following the rule.
Yes.
Thank you so
very much
for those comments.
And we're sick because we are not following the rules, like, you know, drinking cold stuff. That is,
exactly.
You know, you're breaking the rules, okay? You're breaking the rules. You know, ice
breaking
cream,
every
you're
time.
Breaking the rules every time. Because
yes.
As it goes into your body, it stagnates your blood. And that
absolutely.
Is one thing I've learned, definitely. So,
Sister Abdullah, you have another comment?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, just one other thing that came to mind is that in addition to not being able to talk with food in our mouth, we couldn't chew with our mouth open. Our mouth had to be closed.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly.
All of that helps to help us to digest our food.
Mm-hmm.
All of those practices. That's right. So if anyone else have a question or a comment to make, here's the time you can do it before our guests end up having to leave. And we're talking about getting the full understanding of sugar and starch. Sugar and starch. They have to be digested. And our cell produce amylase in our saliva to digest them. So and we have to have certain, follow certain rules when chewing our food and eating, a certain etiquette, no talking and no drinking during the time that we're eating our food. Critical for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So press one on your phone, Sister Abdullah, mute your mic and we'll open it for anyone else who have a question or a comment to make. Thank you so very much. That was excellent.
And you can always time yourself for at least 30 minutes before, you know, drink anything to allow the food, the amylase to you know, you shouldn't be drinking, as you said. Wait at least a minimum of 30 minutes because you need a stronger amylase for your DNA, not a weaker one. Because when you drink, your amylase is going to weaken, and that will not help you. As we get along.
Anyone else have a question or a comment to make? Just press one on your phone, and we'll entertain your question, and allow you to make your comment. Thank you so very much. You have anything else, Mrs. Rita, to share?
Well,
people,
well I, yeah,
their, of course.
Yeah, because I also, you know, want to talk about, you know, sugar is 5 times more difficult to digest than starch because our small intestine might produce enzyme to digest it. And the kidneys also must produce an enzyme to digest it. And these cells must also have enzymes that would liquefy the sugar residues to digest sugar alcohol. So we need to make sure that the sugar that we have is important, that it digests well, and that way you don't have issues with all kinds of stuff. Okay? So be careful. Yeah, be careful with a lot of stuff that, you know, we eat. Basically, that is also something that we need to watch out for with sugar. And really eat what you need, but not a whole lot of sugar. You know, the soda, all that, they have lots of sugar in there. You know, a soda can is what? How many teaspoons of sugar in a can of soda? It's a lot of sugar.
A lot of, 20
teaspoons of sugar in one can of soda. So if you're consuming that, what is it doing to your kidneys and your liver? I mean, it's really not good for it. So it's just like whatever it is, moderation, basically, not a lot of soda. A lot of soda is not healthy for your system. So. And the kind of water you drink also, the kind of water you drink make a difference. Make sure you have electrolyte. Your water should have electrolytes in them because your body needs the thermal energy and electrical energy for you to function properly. So water, you need electrolytes for our body to function. So not all water are created equal. So make sure that you have the right kind of water with electrolytes so that you can have all of them in your body.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anyone have a question or comment to make? Our guest has to go at the top of the hour. So if you have a question for her, this is a good time to get them in. Otherwise, you have to deal with.
Yeah, well, if you know of, you know, kids are born with celiac disease where they cannot digest, you know, anything starchy and everything else, you know, symptometry do have what we call pregnancy management for women that want to have children. And if you do go through that 9 months, your baby will be born healthy and it will not have all these celiac disease because the mother will have the molecules that they need in each of the trimester and help the baby grow so that you don't have these celiac disease, so you don't have a gluten-free child. Like, oh, my kid can gluten-free. We do have the solution. For kids should not come into this world with a lot of disease. They should come into this world born healthy, so that they can live a healthier life. So I just want to make a plug that, you know, we do have pregnancy management, and Brother Saheed, if anybody is interested, we do have the program to help women, really women, can have babies within 30 minutes. When you start labor, and it's a beautiful thing. As a woman, I had cesarean section twice, and I promised myself I'll never do that because of all the stress that goes into your body. So if anybody's interested, we do have that program for the young to be mothers, where you can have your baby within 30 minutes, which is even faster. Than cesarean session. So I just want to put a plug in. And again, a healthy child will have less diseases and less problems when they are born. So I just want to make sure that the audience are aware of that too. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. It is excellent advice. Now we have Centometer Pregnancy Management Program to have a healthy baby, and the mother will be healthy after the pregnancy. Over.
Yes, exactly. And that prepares the, it prepares the mother. We prepare the mother for the next child because, you know, a lot of people don't know that after they have the baby, they need a postpartum care. What it means is that it prepares you for the next child in case you decide that you want to have two or three. You know, we have a way to prepare you so that when the second child is born, he or she is as healthy as the first child. And it helps you with a lot of neurological things that is depleted when you have a baby. We restore that. In your brain and everything else, so that you do not have what you call dementia and all that stuff. So it is a very healthy way for a mother to start and the child to start in this world. So I am really, really encourage people to know that it is out there and it is for the health of the mother and the health of the baby. So.
Excellent. One other thing I'd like to point out, too, about digesting sugar. If you don't thoroughly digest the sugar, there'll be sugar residue circulating in our blood, and these sugar residue will become growth factors for microbes.
Mm-hmm.
Growth factors for microbes, like viruses, the herpes virus, herpes simplex 1 and 2, all these things. They will live off the growth factor. Growth factor is food for microbes to feed on. And this is why we need to be able to thoroughly digest the sugar and the starch. Must be thoroughly digested. Also, sugar, if it's not thoroughly digested, will be fuel for cancer. Cancer is an enzyme, neuroplastic enzyme. That's what cancer is. It's a negative enzyme that will destroy everything it come in contact with. And this is how it kills the person. And the sugar residue in our blood will become fuel for the neuroplastic enzyme to spread itself. So these things are very, very important, sisters and brothers, to be able to properly digest sugar and starch. Very, very important.
So, you know, the takeaway for us today is how do you digest sugar and starch? It's a twin issue that all of us need to make sure that we do digest it well. We do have amylases in our body, basically, to break down the sugar and starch in order for our DNA, which we are made of, to function properly. And without digestion of, you know, all the two important sugar and starch. That's why we have a lot of issues before with sugar cravings and all that stuff. It's because you have the sugar cravings, you have, you know, sweets and all that stuff. That's something you should not be having that at all, basically. So these are the kind of things that if you do have the problem, we're here to help you solve this problem, basically. You know, it's boggling for people to eat so much sweets, and if you do that, there's something that is going on in your blood that needs to be ionized and hydrolyzed for you to be able to get back in, you know, normal to be normal. Okay, so that's
absolutely
something that I want to share with you really, 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 really about our digestion, which is very critical to our well-being, the amylase is critical that we need to really digest our food in order for us to be able to live well, with no problems at all. So that is the takeaway that I want to share with you.
Excellent, excellent. It is excellent. We can't say too much enough about digesting sugar because sugar is found in everything. You have people say, well, I'm not eating any sugar.
But no, you are.
Eating plant food, if you're eating plant food, any plant food at all, because all plants on planet Earth have sugar. All plants produce sugar, all of them. They have to have sugar to survive, and that's part of their makeup, which is cellulose, starch. All plants are composed of cellulose. That's the foundation of a plant. So all plants on Earth have sugars. So if you're eating plant food at all, many people think that that's not sugar, but all plants composed of sugar. There's no way you can escape it. So sugar is really not the problem. It's our ability to produce the amylase and the enzyme to digest them, to digest all the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our DNA needs. It needs the sugar, the ribose, the backbone of the DNA, in order to repair it, in order to replace it. We must have sugar. So that's why all plants have sugar. So, and we're eating plant food. But we have to prepare the plant food properly because all plants produce poison. And here's another thing that most people don't think about. All plants produce poison. What do you mean all plants produce poison?
because
that's the defense mechanism.
There are many reasons why they have poison.
Yes. They have to survive. So they produce poison. And many people not aware. It's because plants cannot run from us. They can't run from their predators. They don't want to be eaten. They want to live as long as they can live, too. They love longevity. Matter of fact, they're good at longevity. They're good at it. They live a lot longer than human. So they produce poison. So when we're eating food, food is a large complex molecule, and most people don't look at it like that. It contains the five food groups, the starch, the sugar, the protein, the fats, the oil, but it also contains plant alkaloids and plant acid and other poison like chlorophyll, ammonia, phytol, and it also has the nutrients that we're looking for, the amino acids. Those are some of the protein food that we some plants have, the amino acids. The building blocks of protein is in some of the plant food we're looking for. And they also have the minerals. They also have fats and oil. But they also are intermingled with poison. And that's what we have to be careful of. And that's why we always have to be repairing and maintaining our body to remove the poison, to ionize the poison out of the food. And then we have salt that's also in the plants. There's other elements in the plant, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen. Then in the plant, we also have the bacteria, the viruses, and the fungus, because they love eating on plants too. Everything trying to eat the plants, the animal, the bugs, the viruses, and human. So they have learned to evolve to produce poison that might not kill the human right away, but over time, it's going to take your life if you don't know what to do to ionize the poison out of the blood. And this is what happened. So there's poison in all food, brothers and sisters. Some food produce more poison than others. This is what cooking the food is all about, to neutralize much of the poison.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will say, why?
Yes. Go ahead.
People will say, why can't I eat raw food? I mean, because you're eating poison. It's that simple as that. You're eating poison, and that poison is not good for your blood. It causes blood impurities, and that's the beginning of all diseases. You will have a disease. If it's not now, eventually it will catch up with you sooner or later. There's nothing like, okay, they will give you some symptoms, And before you know it, it's a full-blown disease. So please, there's a reason for not eating raw plants because of the poison that is in there that you need to neutralize if you're going to eat anything. And that's the reason we recommend all plants to be boiled, not to be raw.
Absolutely. So. Very, very important. These are health rules. These are rules to health. If you want to be healthy, here are some of the rules we've been talking about during this program today. We mentioned many rules. Hopefully our listeners are taking notes and making note of these things if they want to prevent diseases. Most diseases are preventable when you know what to do. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people paying attention because these things are critical for our health. Otherwise, we'll be off balance and we'll be destroying our cells. They'll be compromised. That means we will end up suffering from fatigue, exhaustion, all these things, because our cells need the nutrients to produce energy. This is what eating is all about, giving ourselves the nutrients, the resources that they need, so they will have the energy to keep us healthy, the power, the force, the strength, the pressure. They use all of those tangents of energy to do their job, and their job is to keep us healthy or to restore our health. But we have to be eating scientifically. This is what sometimes they call scientific eating. We have to enforce that. Scientific cooking must enforce that. And scientific living on this planet. There's certain lifestyle that people have that will compromise their health. Drinking alcohol. No way you're going to be optimally healthy drinking alcohol. Doesn't matter what the health, so-called health industry say about alcohol and the benefit from drinking wine and these kind of things. Alcohol denatures enzymes. This is all you need to know. Anything denatures enzymes, your health going to be taken over. You're going to lose your health. Absolutely.
And without enzymes, you cannot protect your DNA. You cannot protect everything else. So, yes, alcohol is something we need to be worried about, no matter what they
Absolutely.
Tell us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have another hand raised. I think it's Sister Abdullah. Let me go to her and see if she have a question.
Yeah, I have a question. Ms. Rita had mentioned people suffering from cravings. And a lot of the food that we eat, I know they have chemicals in there that promotes craving, you know, craving for salt, craving for sugar, craving for starch. You know, how do we stop these addictions that we develop towards the salt and the sugar and the starch?
Well, I mean, if you do have a craving, it means that, you know, your system is not working properly. Your cells are not working properly. So that's why we recommend that, you know, first of all, you know, stop eating those, you know, stuff like the sweets and the chocolate and all the stuff that I used to do. And we do have particularly that will rebuild your system so that you can get back without the cravings. And believe me, it works. It works, okay? You have particularly that will help you reduce your cravings so that when you see them, you don't even, you walk by. You don't even know they exist. So we do have that. But also you can try for not eating those kind of stuff. I mean, stop drinking the juices. Stop drinking the chocolate, you know, eating the chocolate and all the stuff, and that will help you. I mean, but we do have the solution. You have to ionize your blood in order for it to go away completely. Because even if you don't, without ionization and hydrolyzation, you're still going to have the disease still in your body, and it, you need to have it neutralized in order for you to be able to be whole again. Brother Saheed, would you like to add something to it, Alpha Sister?
Oh, yes. You know, a lot of times we have craving because we have these parasites in us. We have these microbes in us. They're the one calling us to have the craving. And we have to ionize these microbes out of our body. This is what we have to do. We have to ionize these microbes out of our body so we will be able to eliminate the craving. We think it's us craving for certain things, but really be the microbe, the candida, the viruses, the fungus, and all these things. They'll be feeding on us, and they want certain, they have a certain appetite too. And you think it's you, but they'll be making you crave certain things. So this is part of the maintenance process that we have to do. And this is part of eating scientific, living scientific, and all these things. We have to select the food using science, not just eat anything. All food is not the same. Ms. Rita, we're going to take a short break. And,
well,
I'm know you going.
I'm leaving now. So thank you, everybody, for hearing me today. And we'll talk to you next week, Brother Saheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like I said, we certainly appreciate you working with us, the excellent information you shared, and hopefully people will listen and they will learn something and start implementing and practicing and applying the information. Thank you so very much. You have a good evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Happy Ramadan.
Like Ramadan Mubarak to you too. Sister Abdullah, you have another question or comment?
No, I'm just concerned because I find that when I'm addicted to like maybe pistachios or pumpkin seeds or some kind of seeds, I can stop eating it, but I just become addicted to something else.
the more we remove these toxins and poison from our body, the less we will crave for different things. A lot of times when we crave things, there's something mineral that our body is missing. So sometimes you have the molecule that will include everything. So the cell would not be missing anything. So sometimes we're missing a certain mineral, could be copper or could be iron, and people want to eat on certain things. There are people who eat indigestible kind of thing. They eat dirt, all kind of things people do for craving. They be craving these things, and they be eating it. They eat the lead on the pencil. They chew the fingernail. All these are crazy.
Yeah, those are called pikers. You know, people addicted to ice, people that are addicted to starch that you use to make starch for your clothes. That's a very popular piker that people are addicted to starch and ice.
Yeah.
Or they can be addicted to anything that's non-edible.
Anything
from
at all. Inorganic kind of things that going to make matters worse. And a human being is not supposed to be, something's wrong. Something's missing in the body trying to satisfy it. But the person do not have the knowledge, so they're making mistakes on top of mistakes. Come to symptometry, ionize the blood impurities, ionize the concretion, ionize the parasites from your body, and then the craving will go away. This is how you do it. So I'm going to have to take another break. So if you have a question, another question or comment?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Keep listening. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break. And you listen to Optimal Health with Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometry health coach. And we'll be right back. Please call someone. They can learn from this, and they can correct their mistakes and also be pointed in the right direction to cure their disease and to get back to normalcy. This is what we must do to get back to normalcy. So we'll be right back. Please do not go anywhere at all. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know
what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed, and this is Optimal Health. We certainly appreciate you joining us today. Certainly appreciate you joining us. So we're going to continue. I just want to say a couple other things about starch and sugar. Our sister Abdullah asked about sugar craving or sweets. Really, that has become a worldwide epidemic. There are many, many people with all these various cravings, sugar craving, and craving sweets of all kinds that cause more and more problems for them. And this is happening because people cannot produce enzymes to digest sugar. Isn't that amazing? So we cannot, when we aren't able to produce the enzyme to digest the sugar because our cells need the sugar. And it causes us to want to consume more sugar. It is enzyme. It's not the sugar that's the problem. It's the person's inability to produce the enzyme. We have countless women are experiencing miscarriages because of these sugar problems. They are producing, some of them, moles instead of producing babies when they are pregnant. And this is happening because they cannot produce enzymes to thoroughly digest sugar and starch. If the mother is suffering from the inability to produce enzymes, then think about the baby. The baby will come here with an enzyme deficit. This is where allergies comes in. This is where the allergies comes in. Because nothing happened in the human body without first an enzyme is being produced to make it happen. My body must have enzyme. That is the first essential that our cell produce. They produce enzyme first. That is the first thing. So our ability to produce an enzyme surplus is very, very important. We must produce digestive enzymes, and we also must produce ancillary enzyme for repair, for the repair work that we have to do every day to repair and maintain our body. We must produce enzyme. And there's no school anywhere that teach people how to produce enzyme but the American School of Symptometry. This is how you produce an enzyme. You start with the protein portion, the amino acid. The amino acid, our DNA is made up of 20 amino acids. So we have to be consuming the proteins with these amino acids. And then there's a cofactor, coenzyme, that must be combined with that. Most of the coenzyme are B vitamins. This is very important to know. So we have to consume the amino acid, which is the main portion of the enzyme. Then that must be an enzyme template. Then you need the cofactor. They come together, they combine together to produce thousands upon thousands of enzymes. And the cells have to produce these enzymes. You can't go to the health food store and buy them off the shelf. They don't work in us. Those are plant enzymes. Humans must produce their own enzyme. That is the first essential that our cell must produce. Very first one, enzyme. Without producing enzyme, we will have all kind of health issues, all kind of health issues. People have stomach problems. They go back to their infancy. And when they was in the womb of their mother, they start producing these problems because they could not produce the template to produce many enzymes. Enzymes are produced on templates. Then to produce an enzyme, there must be cofactor and a protein derivative. Those are the amino acids. Then the cofactor, which is a vitamin or mineral, and most of the time there'll be vitamin. There's some more information that we need to be aware of, brothers and sisters, more information that we need to be aware of. So hopefully that you got a lot from our topic today, that all food is not the same, all water is not the same, and of course the quality of the air is not the same. It's not the same. And we already talked about the thermal energy, eating things that deplete our heat in us. Our environment is the biggest sucker of heat because we eat certain foods. Ice cream, pizza, cheese, dairy, eggs. All these things zap the heat from our cells. Then we take pharmaceuticals that will also remove heat from the cell because they have a kill in them. That's what a kill does. It removes hydrogen from the cell. These things are found in all pharmaceutical drugs. If the cell do not have hydrogen, it cannot produce heat nor water, H2O. First thing you hear is hydrogen, H. H stands for hydrogen. Must have the hydrogen atoms combined with oxygen atoms to produce water. Then the cell must have heat, thermal energy. If something is depleting the hydrogen atom, or eliminating them, you won't be able to produce heat nor water, and the cells are compelled to produce symptoms and disease to get your attention, to correct the problem, to put things back to normalcy. That's what the symptoms are all about, brother and sister. That's why we have the symptoms. The symptoms there to warn us. That's what it's all about. So there's a lot for us to learn. There are many sugar diseases. Diabetes is just only one of them. And if you have a sugar disease, then you're going to have a hormonal problem. Hormonal problem. Because we won't be able to produce enzyme. It's something to denature our enzyme. That's going to put our cells at risk. They won't be able to function properly. They won't be at their best. So this is why we're talking about this today. So we hope we We took notes, and we hope you learned something from those things. We're going to, with the remaining time that we have, we're going to talk more about the different rules of health and some natural laws we're going to mention today. Natural laws. We mentioned many different rules to health last week. And I think we got down to about 19 of them that we shared. But there are other laws that govern our health. And we'd like to cover a few more of them, and there are other rules that govern our health as well. And to become optimally healthy, brothers and sisters, to reverse our disease and condition, we must always be in compliance. How are we to be in compliance when we don't know what the rules and the laws are? This is part of the reason why we have this program, to help us to become more and more familiar with the rules to health and the laws that govern our anatomy and physiology. There are laws. And we break these laws, and the penalty is our condition and disease, symptom and disease. That's the penalty for breaking the rules. And if we don't know the rules, there still is no excuse, because we have a body. That means we should know. We have a body that we live with 24/7. That tells us that we should know how it operates. If we don't know, we must ask the question, why we don't know. That's what we must do, not get upset and try to blame someone. We must ask the question, why we don't know. It's obvious that we've been miseducated. You would think that'd be the first thing a human would learn on this planet, is how the body operates, how to take care of it. You think that would be the first thing that person, the human, would learn. But that's not the case, because people like to take advantage of us, not knowing. That's the case. So, brothers and sisters, if you have a question or comment you'd like to make, please press 1 on your phone and we'll open your mic. In the meantime, we'll continue to talk. But we'd love to hear your question, because that will help other people to learn more. And then we can be interactive, which is very, very important. We'd like to become interactive, because we want to make sure that you are understanding what we're saying here. We want to make sure that you're thoroughly understanding what we're saying, so you can put these things to practice step by step by step. No one is expected to enforce scientific eating and living and cooking overnight. It takes time. Sometimes it takes years, because we are human. Beliefs begin in our mind to have a different mindset about our diseases and health. The diseases are not meant to kill us. They're not. So there's no reason to become frustrated. Just think about the mistakes that we made, and that we have to do better. In order to do better, we must learn better. So that's a law of intuition. We have intuition. The Almighty has gifted the human being with intuition. So there's a law of intuition. And this is what this law states, brothers and sisters. This is absolutely amazing. The law of intuition requires us to always follow our first, and we already instinctively know this. We already know this. It's in our genes. But we doubt ourselves. Everything we need to cure any disease or all disease is already inside of us, brothers and sisters. The Almighty placed these things inside of us already. So we have intuition. And there's a law in symptometry. The symptometry called it the law of intuition. Always follow your first thought. The law of intuition will help us to protect our DNA. Why is protecting our DNA? You hear me say that all the time. Why is protecting our DNA is so important? Protecting our DNA is so important because the genes that holds the keys, the blueprint, the set of instructions, the recipe, so to speak, for our cells to have, so they can do their job properly. Otherwise, they will be idle, because they will not have the instruction, the recipe to produce brain essential, body essential, and cell essential, like enzymes. They must have the instruction. They must produce the template. They must have what they need. They must gather all of the resources in order to produce neurochemical, neurons, neurotransmitter, hormone. They must have the blueprint so they can gather. The blueprint tells them what resources they must gather, put together, and what amount, the timing, the frequency. It gives them all of the necessary information to produce all of our essentials. This is what the recipe is about. This is what the blueprint, the genes houses that. And if the DNA is fragmented in any way or in disrepair in any way, it's not going to pass it on. That's why it is our responsibility to protect our DNA. There are many DNA saboteurs, and they will be found in the food and the water and the air we breathe. That's where they are found. This is how they get inside of us, those saboteurs. They will sabotage the DNA, and they will be circulating in our blood, slowing things down, jamming the cells. Rather than getting the resources to produce energy, they'll be getting blood impurities. And then pretty soon, the cell will be on lockdown. So the first thing, we must have the intuition to help us to protect our DNA and protect ourselves from harm. And also, our intuition makes us learn the lesson from our good and our bad experiences. Life is about learning the lesson, brother and sister, of our good and bad experiences. Life is a series of experiences and lessons that we've learned over a period of time, over a period of 70 or more years, and this is how the person gets wisdom. This is why older people have wisdom and younger people do not, because we made enough mistakes and the experience of life have taught us. And we put a few things together. Now we have to do this more on a conscious level to correct our mistakes. That's why we have to become knowledgeable of all of these things so our health can be optimized. If our cells are optimized and then we're able to optimize our health, it means we will have the best brain. Our brain will become optimized. We learn how to nourish the brain, and it will be used as the tool as it been intended to be used. So we have the ideas and the thought process to improve our condition. This is how it's done. So any disease anywhere in our body, it also going to affect the performance of our brain. It doesn't take long for a disease to cause us to be mentally ill, because our liver have the resources that it provides for all of our organs, including the brain. So if the liver is compromised, the brain is going to be lacking resources. The heart will be lacking resources. The kidney will be lacking resources. So our body works together and depend on each other. The organs depend on each other. Everything is working together, brother and sister. So as we age, we want to learn and qualify to be a person with wisdom so we can pass it on to the future generation. So lessons learned over a period of 70 years will give us the wisdom that we need to pass on. That's the law of intuition, brother and sister, the law of intuition. So if you have a question, press 1 on your phone. We'll open your mic. You'll be able to ask your question and make your comment. And there are natural laws. There are 3 natural laws we want to share with you. 3 natural laws. I hope you make note of these. All these is to help us to be in compliance, brother and sister. What we're sharing is information to help us to be in compliance. If we are in compliance, we have a better chance, a better opportunity to cure our disease. We must do what is necessary to take care of ourselves, our DNA, to reverse diseases, to cure diseases. We have everything inside of us to do it. Now we have the knowledge to go along with what we have inside. The first rule, the first natural law, rather, states that the new must replace the old. And this must take place on so many different levels. So many different levels. Throughout the creation, this is how it is. The new must replace the old. Just think about that. How profound that is. Our cells divide for this reason. So new cell will replace old cell. If our cells divide, there should not be any old cells in us. If there are old cells lingering around in us, it is because we did something to block cell division. Now, what can we do to block cell division? We can cause our enzyme to be made worthless, denatured. There's two enzymes that our cell must produce to divide the cell. Isn't that amazing? Two enzymes for cell division. If we cannot produce those two enzymes for cell division, our body would literally begin to fall apart, deteriorate day by day, night by night, because there would be no cell division, no new cell replacing old cell. Old cell cannot do the work of new cells. That is obvious. And your health will indicate that. And more diseases will be produced to get your attention. So you can start the process of producing kinase and cyclin. Those are the two enzymes that must be produced for cell division. But if you eat plant food that have poison and toxic and alkaloids and all these other things, and theobromine, theophylline, and all these other things, and hydrostatic acid, prussic acid in nuts and seeds, and the saturated fats in eggs, and avocado, and cook them with the wrong oil, and cook them with the wrong salt. All of these things will compromise our cells and will denature the enzyme that causes our cells to divide. Natural law. New must replace old. The new generation is going to replace the old generation. This is going to happen, brothers and sisters. This is a natural occurrence. A natural phenomenon. It happens throughout the creation. And we have to do our part to facilitate it. If our cells do not divide, how are they going to produce brain eccentric, cell eccentric, and body eccentric to keep us on a paradigm of normalcy? They won't be able to do it. They'll be blocked from doing it. Number two, the strong must replace the weak. You find this throughout the creation, brothers and sisters, the nature program. You will see them. Even on a microscopic level, this is taking place all the time. Many of us have observed them just looking at nature. The strong must replace the weak. If the cell cannot divide so that the strong cell replaces the weak cell, streptococcus will release one or several of its toxins to cause a disease. Yes, streptococcus is already inside of us, brothers and sisters. We're born with it. That's a bacteria that we're born with. It is the pH police. This is what symptometers call it, the pH police. If we change the pH anywhere in our body, he's going to come out and investigate. He want to know why the pH is changed in this area, in that area, and any part of our body. Nothing escapes him. If we are in compliance with the pH rule, this bacteria, Streptococcus, will fight every virus for us that comes in our system. But we must be in compliance with the pH rule. Isn't that amazing? It will be our best friend because it will attack every other microbe that will enter our system. But if we break the rule, it will become our worst enemy. It has different chemical weapons that it can release to break down our collagenic fiber, our foundation. We have all kind of deteriorating arthritis diseases. Our collagen and ligament and tendon would just fall apart. Even our bones would fall apart because of the toxin that it would be releasing. And you won't know how to remove the toxin. Only way you can remove it is come to some time just to remove the toxin because it has the particulates, the subatomic particle, to remove them. Otherwise, we'd be eaten alive from the inside out if we don't abide by the rules, the pH rule, so that our cell would be able to divide and that strong will be replacing the weak. If we have a weak heart, we must strengthen it. If we have weak kidney, we must strengthen them. And pharmaceuticals won't strengthen them, brother and sister. They won't do it. They don't have what it takes to strengthen them. Natural law number three. This is so very important, brother and sister. This is so very important. These are natural laws. We had nothing to do with them. This is keeping the normalcy. We didn't establish the normalcy. We're under the obligation to keep the normalcy, the pattern that the Almighty has created. We had nothing to do with it. We're obligated to keep the pattern, to maintain the pattern. Number three, the natural law, the normal must replace the abnormal. Not create a new normalcy. We have no right to create a new normalcy. Oh, this is a new normal. Well, give us the right to create new normal. The Almighty created the normalcy for humans. We have to maintain it or stay within the perimeter of what's normal. So a disease in our body operates the same way, brother and sister. Disease symptom means that we're veering from the paradigm of what's normal. Because every disease is an abnormality in the organ, in the tissue, in the lymphatic system, in the blood, in the membrane, in the Krebs, somewhere in the body. That's what it is. It's abnormalcy. And it's our responsibility to put it back to normalcy. Otherwise, the disease is going to become more and more chronic. Until eventually our life would be at stake, and they call it acute. That's the progression. So normal must replace abnormal in the human body. So diseases do not kill us. The symptom and the disease are not meant to kill us. They are meant to get our attention so we can take the necessary step to put things back to normalcy. Now you know. Brother and sister, if you have a question or a comment, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic. And we certainly appreciate you for being here with us today. We're going to take another break. So please do not go anywhere. We have a few more minutes. You're with Abdul Shaheed, and the program is Optima Health, your certified symptometry health coach. So please do not go anywhere at all. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid. Presented the Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Families, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you. The individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there. Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC Annual End of Year Telethon to help us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at CWSC.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue, and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. A representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contribution. You can also mail it in. If you make your check out to CWSC, you can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
Welcome back, brother and sister. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your certified Syntomager Health Coach, on AM 360. And this is Optima Health. Welcome back. And we thank you for sticking around with us to hear the information about Optima Health, how to cure our disease. In order to cure a disease, brother and sister, this is what must happen. Believe it or not, number one, the DNA must be repaired so the gene will release the blueprint, set of instructions, the recipe to produce what's been missing that caused the disease in the first place, to put things back to normalcy. The DNA must be repaired. Blood impurity must be reduced. In order to do both of those things, syntomagy uses subatomic particle called particulates, P-A-R-T-I-C-U-L-A-T-E-S, particulates. They are subatomic particles. Those are the particles that make up the atom, electrons, protons, positive charges, neutrons. They create the thermal energy and electrical energy to dissolve the poison from the food, from the water, from the air, to dissolve the toxic metal that's blocking cell division, that's blocking the ability for our cells to produce brain, body, and cell essentials. Something is being blocked. Whenever you think about a disease, something is being blocked. That's why we have the disease. We're not supposed to have a disease. We're a human being. A disease is a distraction for us. It's going to slow things down in our blood. If our blood slows down, then we'll be in violation of the speed rule in physics. Our blood must move at the speed of light in order for the cell to be nourished properly. The nutrients and the resources are circulated in our blood. At the same time, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully, at the same time, there's poison, strong acid, alkalis from plant food, preservatives from food, coal tar derivatives from the food, toxic metal from the water are also circulating in our blood too. And if you take pharmaceuticals, those things, the byproduct of those things will also be circulating in the person's blood, slowing it down. Therefore, we have side effects from taking the drugs. That's how they get produced. Side effects. A fancy name to say you will have another disease. That's what side effects mean. So cytometry uses particulates to remove all the blockages, the concretion, the sludge, the microbes. And it has molecules that's been properly combined with valence, V-A-L-E-N-C-E, in mind, that combines atoms together into molecules that provide the nutrients that's not in the food because it's not in the soil anymore. Man has managed to deplete the soil of nutrients. Vitamins, minerals, trace minerals, much of the things that our cells need are not even in the food anymore. We have all these chemicals in the food rather than nutrients. So food is a problem for us. That's why we have diseases, believe it or not. Food is a problem. So since it's a problem, we must use subatomic particles to remove all of the garbage that's left in our blood. And that will eventually compromise the DNA. So we have dehydrated nutrients and molecules and lipid molecules, the best oils. So our cell will be able to produce the energy and the essential fatty acids to have them do their work. And the work is keeping us healthy, keeping us normal, on a paradigm of what's normal. Abnormalcy must be replaced with normalcy. I just read that law. That's a law, natural law. So brothers and sisters, if you have a question, press 1 on your phone, and we'll entertain your question. Well, we will also allow you to make a comment, and we'll listen to your comment. We have a few more minutes left into the program, so if you have a question, press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic. If you have a comment, we'll do the same. In the meantime, we're going to cover a few more rules. This rule here is a pH rule. We said this before, but we might have some new people. The pH rule. We must keep in compliance with the pH rule. Many retailers are selling alkaline water, and too many people are falling for it. Our body is not supposed to be alkalized. There's a few places that's alkalized. Most of our body is acidic. Just listen to this. The pH rule states that the mouth, the throat, the esophagus, the anus, the vagina, the skin, the stomach, and other organs, all except the man's prostate and the large intestine, must remain acidic. Most of the body is acidic by design. And if you try to alkalize it by drinking high alkali water, you'll be doing yourself a disservice. You'll be making matters worse, not better. All we share in here is pure science. Science that explains the creation. That's all science is. Explain the observation that we see in the creation. That's what science is. It's the truth, the total truth, not part truth. This is what Scientology shared, the total truth, not part of it. So people can make informed decisions. So if you're drinking high alkaline water, more than 7.5, you're doing yourself a disservice. They're selling water. 8.5, 9.5, 10.5, 10.2, all these things. The human body is not supposed to be alkalized. Both acidosis denature enzyme and alkalosis denature enzyme. There's a scale that goes from 0 to 14, where 0 is very acidic and 14 is very alkaline. Our blood is 7.2, 7.4. That should be the indicator of the food that we should eat, the pH of it, and the water we should drink. That's the indicator, our blood. People who are drinking high alkaline water, 8.5, 9.5, then I ask them, why are you doing that? They can't tell me. Somebody told them to do it. I ask them, what is the pH of your blood? They can't tell me. Well, why are you drinking the water then if you don't know? First, determine the pH of your blood. And when you have that lab work done, when you go to the doctor once or twice a year, and they do the analysis of your blood, notice that number, the pH. If the blood is too acidic, you have a problem. If the blood is too alkaline, you have another problem. Both are problematic. There's a balance. There's a normalcy that must be kept. Streptococcus is the pH police. When that pH goes either way, up or down, it's going to come out and investigate, brothers and sisters. That's what it does. It's the pH police. It enforces the rule. Nobody's coming to check it out. It's already inside of us. Don't have to come from nowhere. We're born with it. That's why health is an individual effort. You must make the effort. You must learn so you can make the effort. That is if you want optimal health. That is if you want to cure your disease. That is if you want to be in compliance. Being out of compliance, the penalty is a disease. I just can't say that enough times. Because we think somebody's going to come and save us. Nobody's going to save us but ourselves. The Almighty's given us a 3-pound brain to use to figure things out for ourselves. If we fail to do it, so be it. We have to take full responsibility, brother and sister, for our health. We, each one of us, have been gifted with a human body, a gift. The body affords us to have life on this planet. You can't be here if you don't have one. If you fail to take care of the one you have, you're not getting a replacement. I don't care how much they try to be able to replace every organ. They can't replace what Almighty Source Creator produced. They can't replace it. They can do the best they can. take care of the original one that you have. Do your best to take care of it. It will take care of us. This is how it is, brother and sister. This is how it is. So if anyone have a question, we've got a few more minutes left. If anyone have a question at all, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll allow you to ask your question or make your comment. We have a few minutes left. You're with Abdul Shahid. This is AM360, and the program is Optimal Health, where you come to find out about health and where it comes from. Health comes from our cells. It comes from a diligent effort to take care of them. Our cell will reward us with good health to cover that effort. If you make no effort to be healthy, your health will be denied. Health is not guaranteed to anyone, brother and sister. No guarantee. We're blessed to have this life, and it's up to us to do what we should do with it to make the best of the situation. We have everything we need to make the best of the situation. Now we're getting the knowledge about how to take care of our body, how to take care of our health, so health would not be denied us, how to renew every part of our body, every system, how to clean it and keep it clean. There's work that we have to do every single day to maintain health. There are things that we have to do, not somebody else. You can't point the finger at anyone. The Almighty gifted us with this body. It's a gift. And we'll be held to account. How did we treat this body? What did we do with it? Did we abuse it? Do we neglect it? Do we neglect our cells? Do we neglect our blood? Do we neglect our DNA? Because you're going to use that excuse, what, I didn't know. No, you're being taught now. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's another matter. To understand health, the first thing a person must have, a paradigm shift, because we've been miseducated. On so many different levels, brothers and sisters. It's not funny, but I just want to get your attention. We've been miseducated, and we all know this. It's not a mystery. Even those people that didn't go through slavery, like our ancestors, they've been miseducated too, along with us. Now, we're all in the same boat. We're all faced with the same issues. The world is getting sicker and sicker, and nobody's getting healthier. And we spend all this money on health care, really sick care, and we don't even do that. We don't care for the sick people. We throw them away. We treat the symptoms, give the illusion that we're doing something to help the person. It's an illusion. And we're on our own, brothers and sisters. We're on our own. If we don't know that by now, something's wrong. I mean, something, well, we already know something's wrong, but something's really, really, really wrong if we think somebody's going to take care of us and they're going to cure our disease. No, the Almighty put everything within our own hands to cure every disease that we have. It's up to us. So we have shared rules of health. We shared information about the natural laws. We shared information about the pH rule, and brothers and sisters, there's a rule called the iron rule, iron, I-R-O-N, the iron rule. Many people are anemic. You can't be healthy if you're anemic. You're eating food that's blocking iron from being absorbed into your cells. A certain food will block iron. You need to know those foods. There's the iron rule, and the iron rule states, while we prepare to close out our program for today, the iron rule states, ferrium, which human cells convert from hemp iron to produce, must use hemp iron. Where hemp iron come from? I'll tell you, I'll give you a clue. Plants do not produce hemp iron. That's a clue to tell you where hemp iron come from. Plants do not produce hemp iron, and human beings need hemp iron, and plants do not produce hemp iron. So where are you going to get hemp iron from? We must eat flesh, animal who ate the plants. Think about this. The animal eat the plant. The plant have certain nutrients that humans use, but they do not have the hemp iron that humans need. And then the human come along and eat the animal that ate the plants. Now we get the hemp iron that human needs, and we also get the minerals and the resources that the plant have because the animal ate them. Now it's part of the animal. So when we eat the animal, we get both, really. The vitamins, the minerals, the trace minerals, the amino acid, the protein, all these things. And the resources, the iron, the hemp iron that our own cell would take and convert to ferrohem. Our cell will use the ferrohem to supply the transformation of energy. Energy that we must have to keep alive, to keep living. We must always produce the energy that we are using. And everything about our body takes energy. To use our brain, it takes energy. To pay attention to someone, to listen to them, take energy. We all know this. That's what must happen, brother and sister. Brother and sister, we're just flat out of time. We're going to make our exit. Please go to this website to get additional information. That website is amsos.org, amsos.org. And please join us on next week on Optima Health. And we thank you for joining us. This is Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometry health coach and the host of Optima Health on AM360. Thank you for joining us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
Divine The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وصلاة الله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على صفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى أهله طاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان يوم الدين والسلام على إمام ورق الدين والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed. We begin with the name of Allah, the ever merciful benefactor, the ever merciful redeemer. We praise him, we seek his aid, and we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who establishes prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon his noble messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we humbly ask Allah to establish the very same prayers, the very same peace, the very same mercy and blessings upon all of his family members who followed him in purification. We humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish the very same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his illustrious companions together. We ask the forgiveness of Allah and mercy upon the followers and their followers in excellence to the day of judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his peace as well as his mercy upon Imam Dr. Waruthuddin Muhammad, as we ask Allah to establish peace amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from. Into all of that we say, Ameen. I openly bear witness that there is absolutely none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique, without any associate whatsoever, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Allah calls our attention in the Quran, stating, O ye who have obtained true faith, who proven your iman in the past. Fasting is prescribed for you the same way it was prescribed for those who came before you as a means for you to develop God consciousness. Dear brothers and sisters, you are listening to Ma'iyah al-Kulihal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, and we're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. And as we begin, we extend the greetings to you, the salutation of peace, the salutation of the angels in paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Mubarak. And as always, we want to ask all of you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of the twin servant, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam. And we'd also ask you to do so on behalf of his family. We ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Khalifa Ramadan and his family, Imam Vernon Farid and his family, Sheikh Ibrahim Pasha and his family. We also ask all of you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Farouk Abdul Wali and Imam Rafiq Rasul and their families. We ask you to be generous in your supplication upon Imam Muhammad Ansari and his family, Imam Abdul Majid Karim Hassan and his family, Imam Ajin Muhammad and his family. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Vernon Farid and his family, Muhammad Sadiq and his family, Imam Abdul Baqi Abdul Hamid and his family. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of our dear sister, Al-Hajjah Fajr Tyson and her family, Al-Hajjah Rabina LeBron and her family, Al-Hajjah Delilah Shaheed, Al-Hajj Lawrence Shaheed. We ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on their behalf. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Qasim Ahmed and his family, Imam Ali Rashid and his family. And we also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to remember Muhammad Ali and his family and Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz and their family and his family. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to pray on behalf of our dear sister Aisha, the wife of our dear brother Imam Abdul Karim Abdul Hamid and his family, to send your du'as on their behalf and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those of us who remain here, who are here. We ask Allah to bless us and our families and friends and relatives who are facing some trial or some tribulation to aid us, give us what we need to stand up to whatever he puts in front of us, and to that we say Ameen. Tonight, dear brothers and sisters, we know that we are coming, our guest is about to, is packing up. And that guest, as you know, is our month of Ramadan. And for those of us who have been with us throughout the month, you know that we liken the month of Ramadan to a guest that we anticipated spending some time with, that we set out some activities for, that we wanted to make sure that we spent had a better time with this particular guest than we had last time. But it's important that we consider that, because time is running out. And so the night begins the 27th night of the blessed month of Ramadan, and we don't declare that the 27th night is the night of power. Why? Well, Shah Islam didn't declare the 27th as the night of power. People have, but the Prophet Shah Islam has not. He said, seek the night of power on the odd nights. The 27th is an odd night, but the 27th has not been identified as the night. And so for those of us who are going out and want to put in some extra worship because it's the 27th night, be sure that the 29th night will also be a night of worship for you as well, and so that you don't miss it, because it could be tonight. It could have been on the 25th. It could have been on the 23rd. It could have very well been on the 21st. Those are the odd nights in the month of Ramadan. And so considering that, this keeps us seeking it out. Many times over, we find ourselves in a situation where we won't give unless we know that we got some money somewhere coming back. We won't give unless we know we're getting something back. We won't go there unless we know that there's something there for us. The Prophet said if they knew that there was a meat with some bones with meat on it, that people would come out for the Salat. And so we look at this idea being presented, and we find that it takes a little more of a faith application than to just know that it's happening, in order to motivate us, because sometimes we need an extra motivation. Well, the extra motivation for us is that the night of power is better than 1,000 months. So sometimes we get caught up in this idea by of us not wanting to do a thing unless we have some idea that it's going to be when we go there. And Islam, and that's human nature, too. That's human nature also. But in Islam, there are many things that we don't know about. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that the day of Yom Kippur will take place on the Friday. You don't know which Friday. Quran says nobody knows what they're going to make tomorrow. He says no one knows what land they're going to die in. No one knows when the day of judgment is going to take place. You don't know that day. You may know the date, but you don't know the date. You may know the day. And the description of the day is clear, made by the Prophet of Islam, and then Allah gives you a description of it. But the idea is that we don't know when. There's a time on Yom Jum'ah where you can make supplication and all the supplications are answered. You don't know what time that is. Why is that important for us to reflect on and understand? Because there are certain things that we are qualified, that we can qualify for, but we don't know when and how much, where and how. But we qualify for them. And this gives us an opportunity to exercise our iman. You see, because up to this point, we've been just verbalizing iman. But iman in and of itself is justified through action. It qualifies itself through experience. So there are some evidences that you have iman by what you've done before your iman is even in question. This is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the revelation with Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu is not what we would term a noun or sentence. In other words, Allah describes the believers by virtue of the act. He describes, he calls us by an action. He doesn't call us by the noun, Ya ayyuha al-mu'minun. O believers. He calls us by the verb, by saying, O ye who have obtained true faith, ladina amanu. Amanu is past tense, plural. Amanu, those who have proven themselves, proven to have iman in the past. Up to this point, you've proven your iman. So Allah gives us these cross references as a means to retain some level of perspective on what it is. So here we have the Night of Power, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming out to share the information with the believers. The believers somehow fall into argumentation, so much to the point where the date and time was skewed, and the Prophet was not able to tell us when it was. He came out to do it, but because he got into argumentation, that information was withheld. MashaAllah. Now, we have to get, let's find some perspective here. Does that change the fact that the Night of Power exists? No. What it does, it puts us on a schedule. What schedule is that? A schedule that in which we seek the Night of Power in the last 10 days of Ramadan on the odd nights. Those are enough clues. Those are useful tools that we can use as a means to acquiring the barakah. We do in the Night of Power words, then we would probably just come out that night. And so all over the place, you're going to see more people coming out tonight than any other night in any other place. everywhere. You're going to have people showing up that hadn't shown up. You haven't probably seen them the whole entire month. There's going to be people that you haven't seen declaring tonight as the night of power. And, you know, by all means, dear brothers and sisters, we're happy to see you. But I'm not happy to see you under those conditions. Those conditions dictate that you needed to believe something was happening in order for you to come out. And that we got the bare minimum out of you. But that's human nature. But you have Islam. And Islam dictates that we got to do a little bit more than that. We got to do better than that. So the Prophet ﷺ was in a conversation with a brother by the name of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And he said to him, "Oh Mu'adh, you know what Allah's right is over you." And Mu'adh, his response was a little different than the average Joe's response. He said, "Allah and his messenger know best." That's what he said. He said, "Allah and his messenger know best." And so the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "The Allah's right over you is that you do not associate partners with him in any way, shape, or form. That's Allah's right over you." But then Mu'adh asked him, "O messenger of Allah," then the Prophet asked Mu'adh, he said, "Oh Mu'adh, do you know what your right is over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And Mu'adh was surprised that we even had, he never thought of it that way, that there was a right that we would have over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, "Allah and his messenger know best." Again, you see, how many of us do that when we're asked something, an Islamic question, we say, and we don't know, and we say, "Allah and his messenger knows." How many of us do that? How many of us not afraid to say, "I don't know"? Because that's what he was saying. Allah and his messenger know best. That was a nice way to say it, as opposed to just saying, "Man, I don't know, man. I know the answer is with Allah and his messenger." So the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying that he does not punish you provided you do so. That's your right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His right is that you don't associate partners with him in anything whatsoever. And your right over him is that he doesn't punish you provided you do that. So Mu'adh was elated and he said, "This was good news. Should I go out and announce this to the people?" And the Prophet said, "La." He said, "La, because perhaps they will just rely on that alone." Now, you got to understand the wisdom in that, dear brothers and sisters. Mu'adh eventually said the hadith. He said the hadith on his deathbed. And the significance of this particular tradition dictates something that corresponds with human nature. It corresponds with a level of information that's practical. Practical knowledge, right? Knowledge that is of some benefit. But what happens is we just rely on that and we don't do anything else. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ was pinpointing, becoming a community that's just so narrowed down, that we are so technical that you don't get anything else out of us. And he was trying to prevent us from being like that, just relying on that, just coming to Juma on that last minute. On Friday, right before the khutbah is over, we step into the masjid. We done got to the point now, we don't even listen to the khutbah now. We there, as long as we make the salat, we there for the last rakat of the prayer, claim that we made Jummah. And so we get to that point where we're just doing things to the point where it's just about that. If we know that, then we come to that. If you know it's that time, then you come to that, like that. And that becomes problematic for us, because then any other time, you're not even seeking it out. You're not even coming around. You're not even being a part of it. And that's the best that we can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after all he's done for us. Dear brothers and sisters, be mindful of what Allah has given us. And be mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a charge on us to do better. We're not supposed to be bare minimum people, dear brothers and sisters. Bare minimum comes as a result of you trying to do more, and that's all we can get out of you. But you try to do more. See, we should always be in line to do more in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the tremendous amount of barakah Allah has laid on us. It's only right. We know in Islam, sisters don't have to go to the masjid, but why wouldn't you want to go to the masjid, sister? Why wouldn't you want to go to Jum'ah? There's nothing that forbids you from Jum'ah. You don't have to go. The man has to go. However, why wouldn't you want to go to Jum'ah? Important, dear brothers and sisters, that we consider what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. And we take full advantage of the opportunities to do more and to do better and to increase upon what we did last time. May Allah help us that we say amen.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Because there is no God but the one God.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're back, dear brothers and sisters, and you are listening to Ma'iyya ala al-Kuliha. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, and we're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM360. And if you're just joining us, we are currently in the discussion about knowing when the night of power is. And we started our discussion by saying we first and foremost declare that we don't have legitimate information concerning when the night of power actually takes place. What we do have is we have some useful tools left to us by the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who came out for the purposes of sharing that information with us, but the community at the time got into a dispute about something. And so it was skewed. The Prophet was made to forget what the date was upon his heart, so he do not forget. He made it so that he doesn't remember what the date was for. The day was for the night of power. And it's important that we differentiate what the night of power is. The night of power is not when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the month of Ramadan received his first revelation. That's not the night of power. And so, because you can easily go back to that and they can find out what that date was. But that's not, it wasn't the 27th, still wasn't the 27th. So even then, we find that the night of power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about is when he revealed the entire Quran to the lower heaven, because he knew what was going to happen before it even happened. Your creation, your time here on earth, and all of those things, our time, this conversation that we're having, all of this was recorded way before it happened. And this is the whole idea behind Allah being the all-knowing, always was and always will be. He's not finding out anything. He already knew. And so the revelation of the Quran was a revelation, even despite the fact that there were reasons of revelation, these events were already recorded before they even happened. They were already in the Quran. And see, some people might figure that, oh man, that's right there, man. That's different right there. Oh, it's different. It's miraculous because Allah in and of itself, he has no limitations. And so this boggles the mind of some people to know that he gave you a revelation about something that an incident that took place before it even took place. That was already established, and it was already written that this was going to take place. And so differentiate this the idea between the two events. One event was the prophet receiving revelation, the piecemeal revelation that he got in bits and pieces from Angel Jibril, who was dispensed, it was being dispensed to him from the lower heaven, and he would bring it from there to the prophet, and then he would go back as Allah commanded him to take, and then he would give him this particular verse and that, and so on and so forth. And then the prophet was instructed to put it in that particular order, and the prophet would have the companions, those who were recording it, to put it in a particular order. You'll find that in the beginning of Revelation, the Prophet ﷺ never really received one surah at one time. He received some ayahs from this surah, then he received ayahs from another surah, and then he was given reference back to another surah, and then he was coming back to the same surah that he got from the beginning and given ayahs for that particular surah. And he had to be able to shuffle like that, and they put them in place that way. But all together, it wasn't one revelation at one time. It started out verse for verse, 5 verses here, 7 verses here, 9 verses here, like that. And then as time went on, you know, you've got, you know, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, these whole surahs at one time. Baqarah and Ali Imran, piecemeal, the Prophet, he received the last ayats about Baqarah and Ali Imran during the Miraj, I think it was. But the idea, dear brothers and sisters, that it was given to him piece by piece. So he was able to consume it. He was able to get it down, if you will, okay? Digest it, if you will. And so, but he would not have been able to digest it in a complete order at one time. And that was some of the what has happened to the first revelations that came that we consider the Book of Allah. The Torah and the Injil, which were the same book. But what has happened was it's the Old Testament. And we don't qualify the New Testament as being of any divine merit or any divine connection to that. But that's another story in and of itself. But the Quran is unlike those two revelations. Number one, it's the final revelation. Number two, it was a revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said he'd protect. He didn't lay that on the Injil and the Torah. He never declared that, although those books were also revealed in the month of Ramadan. Jibril also had a hand in that. And so we, as Muslims, we have a very broad perspective on, you know, this whole concept of the night of power, but it's not a point where we're just accepting any and everything. It's a very detailed description of the night. It's a very detailed explanation as to what was what. It's clarified. The night of power is not the night in which the Prophet ﷺ received first revelation. That's clear. The night of power is not on the 27th night. That's clear. The night of power can be sought on the odd number of nights. That's clear. So how do we make an application? We make the application by seeking out the Night of Power on those nights. And with Iman in place, we don't worry about knowing exactly when. We just sort it out. And because we covered our ground, maybe by some chance, Allah will shower us with some barakah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylat al-qadr. Wal ma adraka ma laylat al-qadr. Laylat al-qadr khairun min alf shahr. تنازلوا ملائكات وروه فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام حي حتى مطلع الفجر. So we listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely we have revealed it in the night of power. And what will make you comprehend what the night of power is? The night of power is better than 1,000 months. In it descended the angels and the spirit. Command peace until the rising of the morn. Dear brothers and sisters, be mindful of the fact that we are better than that as a people, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us to seek out the night of power, but to do so with gratitude, trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being pleased with pleasing Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us remember Him and to show gratitude to Him and worship Him in the best way. We beg Allah for His forgiveness, His guidance. We beg Him for the mercy. We ask for protection from the fire. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him to increase us in all that which is good, but to also aid us to be able to stand up to whatever He puts in front of us. And to that, we say Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to be stepping away for a minute, and we're going to be breaking fast here. While I'm gone, we're going to play something for you, inshallah ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you again for joining us for another edition of Ramadan Session Daily Lesson. And today we'll be reading from selected ayah in Juzun 5, the fifth section of the reading when the Quran is broken down to the 130th. There's some people that read what they call manzil. They read seventh of the Quran a day. So after each week, they've read one whole Quran. So at the end of the month, they've read the Quran at least four times. I know a few people that read a whole Quran the whole day. Obviously, they're not working anywhere, or if they are working, they're doing Islamic work, working at Islamic schools. In fact, the ones I know, they work at a Hafiz school, an Alim school, where they're closed down during the month of Ramadan, and so they devote themselves to just staying in Allah's book. They start the Quran and read it and finish it and start over and read it and finish it. They stand in Tarawih prayer with the congregation, then they get back up about 2 o'clock and make the hujjah and recite some more, then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, they're around the clock. And I go around them to get that spiritual fortitude, but can't keep that pace because we're not shut down for the whole month, most of us. I'm still working and doing other things. But I do admire them to be able to do that and benefit greatly from that spiritual discipline. But, of course, that's not for the whole ummah. Somebody got to work and keep the lights on and the gas on and the mortgage paid and et cetera. But there's some of us. In fact, I recall in Quran, we may go over that when the people went to war, when the faithful was commanded to go to war for a just cause, Allah ordered the prophet to keep some of them to stay back and devote and be devoted to religious studies. So when the ones coming back from war, the ones who were devoted to religious studies could remind them of certain aspects in the religion, because when you're out in the battlefield, you know, oftentimes you get caught up in the environment and you're not able to really always reflect on the deep penetrating meanings of the religious studies like we try to do with these Talim. So we shouldn't ridicule people that are committed to that level of spiritual fortitude, because there's always going to be some in the Ummah that Allah preserves to remind others of us who don't have the time to put in that level of study. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we want to go, still reading in Surah 4. Surah 4 was a long surah, so it's a different part of Juz 3 is in Surah 4, and even part of Juz 4 and a little part of Juz 5. Part of Juz 4, part of Juz 5, and a little part of Juz 6. So we're going to go to Juz 5 and Surah 4. We're going to start with Ayah 135. Ayah 135. Surah Nisa, and that's the fourth surah in Ayah 135. And you see right before 135, there's an ayin right after 134 that lets us know in recitation that's a recommended pause for making ruku. If you're, when I say recitation, I mean recitation if you're doing it for salat. So this is a natural place to start. If we were in the salat, we would be reciting this right after coming out of one section of the Quran. Something else to know, if you join the prayer late, they're already standing, and if you catch the ruku, then you don't have to make that raka up. Ruku comes from raka. So our raka is defined by the ruku, by the bowing. So if you are able to join the congregation, like say for instance, you get there, you maybe have greeted the masjid with the two rakah and they started the prayer and you're still in greeting the masjid and you join it in the first rakah and they haven't got to the still reciting Quran or they bow down and you join it at the point and you bow down and are down at least where you're rested in that position before the imam leaves us and coming up, then you have caught that rakah. But if they're in Safta or Jalsa in their first rakah and you join them in that position, then you have to make that rakah up because you didn't catch the ruku. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All right, so we go to Surah Nisa, the women, and we're reading from Ayah 135. But let me make sure I put on the recording. Okay, alhamdulillah. We had the recording started. Sometimes after quality check this system. So again, Surah 4, Ayah 135. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from the rebellious ones, the expelled, the rejected. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O ye who are those who have demonstrated faith. Amanu is in the past tense. It's also fourth form of the verb, meaning it is primary cause. This is a group that haven't been forced in the faith. They haven't been coerced in the faith. Their faith not being managed. They're causative of their faith, and they've demonstrated that already. Allah says, Kunu qawwamin al-bilqist. Be firm standards up with justice. Kawamina from Kaum, or the position we have Kiyam. Kawamina bil kif. Be you firmly established with justice. Firmly established upright with justice. Shuhada as witnesses. Lillahi, to and owned by Allah. So we're witnesses to and owned by Allah. Wa lal ala even if it is on anfusiku, your own selves, plural, ahul walidaini, or the parent, walidaini, walidaini, on the parent, wal akrabina, wal akrabina, from Faraba, wal akrabina, or on the relative, in yakun ganiyan, if it is ganiyan, a rich one, al-fakiran, or a poor one. Yes, sometimes people, they're not true witnesses because regarding the rich, because they want benefit from the rich. On the other hand, sometimes people aren't true witnesses regarding the poor because they feel sorry for the poor and how they've been treated. So sometimes they give the poor a pass and aren't true witnesses. They don't stand firm for justice. Then Allah is the protecting friend and ally with both of them, both the rich and the poor. Then Allah says, فَلَا تَتَبِعُ. Therefore do not تَتَبِعُ, from Taba'a, the first generation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions radiallahu anhum, who called the Tabi'in. فَلَا تَتَبِعُ. Then do not follow. It is in the eighth form, which means go out of your way to follow something. Get something to follow. Bring that thing you got back to yourself and keep that thing into your life. That's the eighth form. Imam Qasim calls it the Edomah form, meaning gives us a physical image of food, where you, for food, you reach out and get the food, you bring the food back to yourself, and you ingest it and digest it, it becomes a part of who you are. Allah says, فَلَا تَتَبِعُ, then do not follow الْهَوَى, the desires. أَنْتَحْدِلُ, lest you become تَعْدِلُ, lest you become, sometimes it's translated to deviate, but adil can mean to compensate. So lest you become one to compensate. In other words, you don't provide the true justice, you want to compensate. You want to make excuses for why you're favoring the rich or why you're favoring the poor, based on a desire that has nothing to do with heart, with the truth. وَإِن تَلْوُ, and if you distort, وَتُرْرِدُ, or refuse, meaning refuse to give the right testimony, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَحْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, then surely Allah was, this is kana, was, is, and always will be with what you are doing, khabira, fully aware one, a fully aware one. Next ayah, 136. Ya yuha alladhina amanu, O ye who are those who have already demonstrated positive faith. Past tense, fourth form, primary cause. Amanu billahi, have faith regarding Allah, wa rasulihi, and his messenger, wa kitabi, and the book, alladhi nazala ala rasulihi, in which he has sent it down on his messenger, wa kitabi alladhi anzala min qablu, and the book in which he sent it down from before. There's a taw of a necessary pause there for tajweed and for reflection. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ, and who يَكْفُرْ, who rejects, from kafir, who rejects, who covers, who is not appreciative, بِاللَّهِ, regarding Allah, وَمَلَائِكَاتِهِ, and his angels, وَكُتُبِهِ, and his book, وَرُسُلِهِ, and his messengers, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and the day of destiny, the last day, فَقَدْ, then for certainty, the law, he has strayed, the law land, a straying, ma'ida, far away, a far away place. Ma'idan is a noun, so it's a place. Inna alladhina amanu, surely those who have demonstrated faith, past tense, fourth form, they've been positive in demonstrating faith. Summa kafaru, Then they rejected. Summa amanu, then they demonstrated faith. Summa kafaru, then they rejected. Summa dadu, then they increased kufran in a rejection. Lam yakuni lahi, not for the be for Allah li yakfir lahum, to grant forgiveness for them. Wala li yahdina diyahum, and not will there be guidance for them, Sabila, to any way? No way out of the rejection if they keep going back and forth. I have faith, now I reject. I have faith, I reject. I have faith, I reject, and increase in rejection. Well, who are these people that do this? Bashirin munafikina. Give the news to the hypocrites. El munafikina from Napaka. Napaka means to go in one way and out another. So they go in the way of faith, and then they go in the way of rejection. They keep going back and forth, till they grow, increase in rejection, and no longer have faith. Basili munafikina, and this is an active participle, meaning that it's an adjective, the active participant, but it's also as a feature of a verb. That's why it's a participle, part this, part that. Well, now, again, the actively participating in a one-way act because you have the elif over the noon, which gives us the third form. Basharin Munafikina, give the news to the hypocrites. The annalahum azaban alima. With that for them, azaban alima, it is a punishment that is painful. Now, this is not abstract. Allah is telling the prophet to give the news to these ones that are doing this that they got a painful punishment coming. الَّذِينَ يَتَخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءُ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah gives a further description of them. Those يَتَخِذُونَ who take from تَخَذَ, but it's in the eighth form because they have the shadda over the ta. So it's the eighth form. So they go out to get something to take. They bring that thing they take back to themselves, and they keep that thing they take into their life. الَّذِينَ يَتَخْذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ, those who take the rejected, the kafir, the الْكَافِرِينَ, active participle, those who are in a one-way, participating in a one-way act of rejection, as their allies, مِنْ دُمِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, from a preference to the faithful. So they're claiming to be faithful, but they really take allies from the rejected as a preference to the faithful. Well, yaqtaruna, and they seek from bagaya. Bagaya means to seek, but it's the ta between the ba and the rain, which means it's the a form. Well, yaqtaruna, and they seek. They go out their way to seek, bring it back, and keep it there. In the whom, in their presence. I mean, the hypocrites seek in the presence of the rejected al-izata, the mighty honor. For inna al-izata lillahi. Therefore, surely the mighty honor lillahi is to and owned by Allah. Jamia, all of it. So we get the Jum'ah from that. The symbol of everything, right? Jamia, all of it. Then we have the talk. Over the end of the ayah, which means that the necessary pause for tajweed, but also for our reflection. Waqat nazala alaykum. And certainly it has been sent down alaykum on you. So don't think this is just something to the prophet. It doesn't say alayka on you singular. It's alaykum. Like we say, assalamu alaykum in the plural. It's sent down on you. Fil kitabi in the book. And iza sahnihtum. When you hear, where are you? Sahnehtum. When you hear Ayatilahi, the verses of Allah, the signs of Allah, yukfaru biha, covered up, rejected, no appreciation biha with it, meaning with the conversation. You're in a conversation, you hear, you're in a group conversation, you hear these, the signs of Allah, covered up, rejected, no appreciation with this conversation. Yishtazahu behalf. And you hear ridicule and mocking about the signs of Allah behalf with this conversation. So Allah is giving it, now he's getting ready to give us a command. If we're in a situation like that and we hear this, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ, then do not sit with them. مَعَهُمْ, do not sit with him, with them. حَتَّى until يَقْعُدُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, until they turn to a report, غَيْرِهِ, other than it. And then Allah says, إِنَّكُمْ, surely you, even مِثْلُهُمْ, then would be like them. So Allah is telling us, if we don't not sit with them or not try to get the conversation turned to a report, a conversation other than rejecting the signs, being unappreciative of the signs, covering up the signs, mocking the signs, if we can't change the conversation and we keep sitting there, then Allah tells us, إِنَّكُمْ إِذَنْ مِثْلُهُمْ, then you would be like them. Then Allah says, in, and there's a pause. There's a pause, a necessary pause, a necessary stop for tajweed and also for reflection. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. Surely Allah, جَمِيعُ will gather, will assemble, from Jama'ah, and we see the third form. He's going to reach out in a one-way act. Third form is a one-way act, so he's going to reach out and get all of them. That all of who? Al-Munafiqina, the hypocrites, Wal-Kafirina, the rejectors, fi Jahannama, in hell, Jamia, all together. Al-Ladina yatarabbasuna, and those الَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِكُمْ, and those who wait with you, إِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحٌ مِنِ اللَّهِ, when there is for you فَتْحٌ مِنِ اللَّهِ, فَتْحٌ from فَتِحَ, right? فَتْحٌ, a victory, an opening, مِنِ اللَّهِ, from Allah. قَالُوا, they
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. We are coming to a close tonight. For those of you who are observing the odd nights, please be mindful to keep up your form, some extra ibadah, do some reading of the Quran, rehearsing his signs, and just show your appreciation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these last days of the blessed month of Ramadan. Rabbana antina fi dunya hasanatan wal fi akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu ssalihati wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi